One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of going about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host Chris Broad. We're joined as always by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Pete, how the devil are you doing? What's going on?
Hello, Christopher. I am in fine fettle on the... I'm just looking forward to bloody summer. I know I always talk about the weather, but I am looking for... I can feel it in my bones. I'm starting to wear fewer layers, and it's going to be... 2024 is going to be the year of the... I don't know, Abroad Japan podcast? I got excited. Jump in that one. I don't know. I've been watching... there's like an interesting sort of raft of people on like YouTube who'll just like clip up streamers, and that's all they do. They just clip, put it up.
Big money to be made.
Put it up. Yeah, I didn't realize that was allowed. I mean, it's not really transformational, is it? It's not transformational. It's not. Is it helpful for people to have their clips out there? Because they don't have the time or the need to sort of do it themselves.
Well, Connor has quite a lot of, you know, clippers. And, you know, people do make money
clippers.
Out of it. Well, the clips get sometimes hundreds of thousands of views and can make hundreds, if not thousands of dollars. So it's not ideal, but it also helps sort of propagate the legend of the streamer a little bit, right?
Yeah,
So it's kind of a weird relationship. Most streamers I talk to don't seem to care too much. But some clippers go too far and literally clip everything and
cannibalize the actual content. So, I mean, I would say that there was a clip with where Connor was, because obviously you've been roundly criticized in the past for the things you've put Connor through by Connor and his fans. but Connor was basically saying that he walks around with the streamer. Shibuya Kao, or Kao Shibuya, I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was like proper funny. And she, I think every young male streamer or collection of male streamers should have like an older kind of matriarchal sort of character on their streams to just put them in situations that they would never normally get in. Just a fucking grown up who's fucking done some shit. And they they don't give a toss, and they are strong, and they are just putting these men through fucking hell. Like, and it's just so funny to sort of him going, I'm disgusted by the things that she makes me do sometimes. I'm really scared. She'll do anything. She doesn't care. And like just having this kind of like devil may care older woman on your stream is just such a good idea. So I think you need one. We need to find you.
Well, we went to a wrestling bar last year.
Okay.
With these wrestle girls. It's quite famous. Everyone's seen this place. We went there.
Oh, the muscle. Is that the one where the muscles? Yes. The muscle women.
The muscle girl bar. And
the muscle girls.
It's quite interesting. It was fun, actually. I was sort of... I'd climbed a literal mountain that day, Mount Takao.
Right.
I was battered. I turned up and I was really out of it because I was shattered. So people think I'm like... shocked and afraid of this place because the camera keeps cutting to me and I'm like, look like a terrified little badger, like, what's going on? And you know, Connor and Ludwig, who are
you know, have the energy of a nuclear reactor alike all over the place being crazy. Connor's getting slapped in the face. Ludwig's getting kicked in the backside. I'm just sort of sitting there laughing and intermittently being splashed with various fluids coming out of cups and glasses. I think at one point they do like a sake waterfall or something. Vodka waterfall. Oh, right. I can't remember. It was awful. I can't say I enjoyed the place. The girls are really cool though. Really fun. And Shibuya Kaho set that up as well.
They just need someone to just sort of pull and pull. When you find yourself in a situation where you are with other creators or streams and stuff, do you kind of like take a little bit of a back seat? Because I find that I'm quite a outgoing person in certain aspects of my life, but as soon as someone who's even peppier than me is in my friendship group.
There's no one.
I just sort of withdraw a little bit, and I'm like, that person's got the stage. Let that person, you know, be a dickhead for a bit, and I'd sort of withdraw a little bit. And some people who've known me for a long time sort of go, "Why is Pete so quiet? Is that because this guy's here? Because he's shouting?" Like, yeah, he probably is actually. I just sort of withdraw a little bit, and I just do not have a strong will, Chris. I'm an absolute beta person.
I mean, I have that, and I think it's more like attention deficit disorder. Like, if I'm not, you know, if the camera's not on me and it's not all on me, then I sort of do sort of switch off a little bit. Right. I think we had that problem on the RV stream Connor did last year. Although, to be fair, I had formidable hay fever and I could barely open my eyes. I couldn't breathe and I was a right mess. But it was like Connor, Pete and Ludwig, each one of them has more energy and charisma than anything. And, you know,
you can take it back. You can go a bit missing. You can sort of go, I'll just be the metronome that keeps this thing on the rails. But the rest of you can do your Zinedine Zidane stepovers.
Well, a few people were like, Chris is so grumpy and miserable. First of all, it's the hay fever. Second of all, you just can't keep up with those guys because they're streamers, right? They have the energy to keep going. And chatting
it is a completely different discipline, isn't it? Like, I can perform for like 30 seconds and then I'm just like, I'm just spent. I cannot do more.
That sounds wrong.
And then, but streamers just keep it going. Yes. Streamers can get, we're back to that salad cream story in McDonald's last week.
Oh.
but like, I can't keep it going. Like, I just don't think I'd be a very good streamer because it's just, you just have to keep fucking going.
True. I find when I'm at my best when it's just like me and one other person, because then you can sort of riff off each other and bounce back and forth. When there's three, it starts to get quite complicated, and when there's four, it's a bloody nightmare.
Competitive as well. I think when you've got certainly young men, to be quite frank, like rutting stags on stream.
Well, yeah, there's always got to be one top dog, right? And in the case of the
and it's
the
Shibuya.
Bar,
well, Shibuya. She's always going to win because she's better than the lot of yous.
In the case of the wrestling, the muscle girl bar, it was definitely Ludwig. Ludwig stole the show there. He destroyed us on all the press-ups and push-ups and all the other shit. But to be fair, I climbed a mountain, though, so I think I get special points. I'm not here, though, to prop up my ego in the face of all the streamers. I'm here to talk about Shogun. Have you seen Shogun yet, Pete? Have you watched it,
still
for the love of God?
Still not seen Shogun. Still not seen the Shogun. I did see... I would say like a similar story about internet stalking, where a girl was basically, like an Essex woman, was basically saying that she had a ceremonial samurai sword that she would... Because she was scared of the stalker. She'd sit at home with a sword. And I thought that's, you know, very as a sword owner myself, inexplicably... and quite accidentally, I thought, that's a bit of me, that, sitting at home with a sword.
What is this then? Is this a TV show or a documentary or something?
It's a TV show. It's a TV show on Netflix about stalkers and just absolute fucking sociopath, psychopathic people who just make these young women's... They just sort of pretend to be these young women and just create havoc, absolute havoc in their personal lives. And it's just... I've sort of worked in industries where women are, if you have any sort of level of notoriety, they you just automatically are a target for these absolute psychos. You know, my partner's dealt with a few in her time, and you know, I've had to get involved certain periods of time, and it's It's heartbreaking because just women just can't have anything nice. They can't achieve. They can't excel because they become targets. Especially, you know, people who seem to be good looking. It's horrific. It's horrible.
Yeah, certainly YouTubers I know, you know, off the record, have had all sorts of terrible things happen that, you know, make you lose faith in humanity very fast.
Yeah,
but we don't have a sword like you do. So you can at least administer justice.
It's a sword, mate.
Appropriately.
It's the land of the sword. It's the land of the Shogun sword. How is Shogun, Chris?
It's good. Yeah? It's 9 million people watched the debut, I think, which is a record for Hulu, whatever that is. I watched it on Disney
Plus. It's a record for TV shows about fucking Japan and swords and stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a good time to be in Japan, isn't it? You've got like Tokyo Vice just come out. You've got Shogun.
Yeah.
And a few other programs going on here. It's good, though. Like, I think a lot of people are really scared at the idea of Shogun being remade. Because in the 1980s one, it's very much like, white guy comes to Japan and fixes Japan's problems single-handedly. A bit like The Last Samurai, but in TV form. And while it was very popular in the West, nobody watched it in Japan. It wasn't really aimed at a Japanese audience. Whereas Shogun is supposed to be, you know, watchable wherever. And I know that it's quite popular in Japan as well, because most of the language is Japanese, unlike the original, where it was very much all English. But it's good. I wouldn't say it's like a 10 out of 10 show, like early Game of Thrones or Succession. There's a few things in it that are a bit like some corners have been cut and it looks a bit cheap at times. But for the most part, the cinematography is on point. Acting's great. Pretty cool story. Really, really excited to see where it goes. And the character...
Awesome.
Speaking of Connor previously, a lot of people think he looks like the main character, John Blackthorne, who is the sort of British guy that turns up, the William Adams, Samurai William figure. Because Shogun's kind of loosely based on history around the time of Tokugawa Ieyasu. And I can hear you typing in his name.
Typing away,
It up, of course.
I could see. So was John Blackthorne in the original as well? Because I think
I think so.
Yeah, right, okay. Yeah. Okie dokie.
But he's just,
I could
William
see
Adams.
That. I could see this. Yeah. William Adams, right, there you go.
But it's quite interesting watching it, if you know the history of like that era, seeing the similarities and whatnot. But three episodes in, really enjoying it. People are going to probably behead me for what I just said about it, cutting some corners and not being... Like, it's really good, but I don't think the script is like as strong as something like Succession or early Game of Thrones. And we have to say the word early... Because what happened in Game of Thrones at the end was unspeakably shit, to the point that everybody's kind of forgotten how very good Game of Thrones was. hopefully a fate that will not befall Shogun. But check it out. We'll talk about it when you go and watch it. That's your homework, Pete. Right. Go and watch Shogun.
Well, I finished the TV show One Day, which I was quite enjoying. So. Just enjoyed that.
A good friend of mine... directed some short films, and the main girl, I can't remember her name, unfortunately, but she was in his short films. But yeah, really cool. Looks really good. The reviews are cracking for One Day. Anyway, enough of that. Let's dive in to the story of the week. And it's from George from Chicago. It says, Dear Chris and Pete, day one listener here, I wanted to share my story that happened last year while in Japan. We were travelling the Golden Route by Shinkansen, and before our long journey out of Kyoto, we decided to pick up our lunches at one of the amazing bento box convenience stores, and I wanted to try a one-cup sake for the road. Oh dear, never a good start to any story. As I stood before the large refrigerator with an overwhelming amount of choices, I noticed a large man coming towards me. Keeping in mind I'm 6'2", my mouth went agape as I quickly realised that this man could only be a member of the Yakuza. Either that or a clever salesman with a loud floral shirt, slick hair, tattoos and sunglasses. He walked in with a sense of purpose as he intentionally came towards the sake refrigerator where I was standing. Without saying a word, he quickly opened the door in front of me, immediately grabbed a cup, slammed the door shut and turned to me, noticing him like a starstruck weirdo. He tipped the cup my way, as if to toast a glass, and just made a short grunt sound, as if to tell me, this one. Standing still and in awe, I watched him slam his cash on the counter, without waiting in line, of course, and, and he just walked off into the sunset. Like a boss. Safe to say that even though I probably look like an idiot, I'll be damned if I didn't say that this wasn't the best cup. If this wasn't the best cup of sake I've ever enjoyed, and now I had an amazing story to go with it that I'll remember forever. Have either of you had a similar experience where a badass influenced you into making a purchase? I realise British people can't say the phrase badass.
Badass.
Yeah. Keep up the great work. Cheers, George, from Chicago. I love the way Yakuza don't queue. They just, I've seen Yakuza try to queue and they get very angry. They just sort of stand there and they go, and like the shop staff are like, And I saw one shop staff in Kyoto last year just not serve the Yakuza because they were busy like putting some chicken in the grill. And he went fucking ballistic. He grabbed him, he pulled him over the counter, and he took him out to the street and nearly smashed his head in. Luckily, Ian Rudd stepped in between the two and the police turned up to defuse the situation. The Yakuza don't wait. They don't queue.
That's wild.
They wait for no one.
I mean, that seems like a... they must get so much stuff done. Awful. Awful. Because I thought they were like in a hearts and minds kind of situation with the whole kind of PR of the Yakuza these days. I thought they were like going for all of that.
They do have good PR.
Cutting in line. I mean, good. Imagine doing that in Britain. The Yakuza would be over in days.
So,
Yamaguchi, I'm going to fill you in, mate. Because you just jumped in the queue. It's what we do best. God damn it.
Whenever there's a natural disaster, the Yakuza sigh a relief, I think, because they jump in there, they hand out a few bentos, and then they write 500 articles about all the great stuff they've done.
About how good they are, right.
Very good PR.
Yeah. I was once in a... what I would say is that with the fridge... full of like one cup and stuff. Like, surely there's only one cup sake. Are there alternative products that have like different kinds of sake? Because one cup is one cup, isn't it? Like, it's an iconic, legendary product that is disgusting, and you shouldn't drink it.
Awful.
But like, they only come in different sizes, don't they? The old Yamazaki? I can't remember. But like the one cup sake, it's like a blue sort of clear glass. Kind of cup with it. It's astonishingly bad.
It's really bad. And like, there are different variations. There's like a red one. There's like a carton with the, a picture of a devil on it. And yeah, I wonder what it was though. You know, sometimes artisans one cup sake. But I've never had one that I've gone, oh, that's quite good. I'll have that again. That never happens. It always tastes like something that came out of a car, like car paint stripper, car cleaner, or something.
If you ever want to know a little bit about sake, there's a good book by a guy called Brian Ashcraft who I went for a drink with him once in New York City, maybe Los Angeles. Can't remember. Doesn't matter. But he sort of said that people criticise one cup for being a piece of shit, and it is a piece of shit. But it's introduced so many people into drinking sake, so it's a really nice kind of like entrance to.
No. Fuck off, that's absolute nonsense, right? If I'm like...
What was your... Right,
trying to introduce someone
drink?
Into wine, and I'm like, just some like fermented strawberry jam and grapes and some shit, I'll drink that, and they down it, and they're
physically sick. He just said it
gets
a bad rap needlessly, because it has introduced a lot of people to sake, who wouldn't usually sort of bother drinking it. Would you say that... what was the first drink you had when you were a child? Like, for me, it was like little stubby Belgian beers. That was very big. The booze the kind of relaxation of the taxes. We used to have little, tiny little Belgian beers that you'd buy in France and bring them over. Certainly your mates, mum and dad would. We never went to France, but where the naked ladies dance, I hear. But yeah, you'd have these little sort of stubby cans. And like, that's not a great kind of introduction to anything. It's disgusting.
I mean, I had that actually when I was a kid, and I was physically sick, and it put me off beer this day.
Exactly.
I don't think one cup sake has introduced people to sake there, because when you taste it, you're like, I never want to have this again. Mm.
It's
There's
like,
no
it's like
way.
Mixed like kind
people
of
like,
vodka
that was awful.
In with it, isn't it? It seems needlessly strong. I don't know.
Bad.
It's weird. But I was once in an off license in Honorock Park in London, that there London, and here a man came in and said, "Can I get a 4-pack of beer, 6-pack of beer?" And the guy goes, "Well, we got these, And he goes, "I don't want any Fosters. I'm a Heine man." And he just wanted Heineken. And from that day forward, if I had the opportunity to drink a Heineken, I would drink a Heineken, because I also want to be a Heine man. He was so cool for saying that. And he picked up a 6-pack of Heine and left.
I do like Heineken.
I imagine being a Heine man in America is a little bit like being the booty man, isn't it? The wrestler, the booty man.
Count me in. I like Heineken and I don't do beer. But all fun aside, not such a great week for foreign tourists. No fun. Fun is over. Kyoto has banned tourists from the geisha district over out-of-control behaviour, which is annoying because I was in Kyoto like last week in the geisha district. And if you go down there, it's a beautiful place. Love it so much for strolling around it and wandering around aimlessly. There's a magic to the area there that, you know, you just don't feel in other parts of Kyoto. They've managed to keep something. But there's lots of tourists do cause problems. They grab geisha. They try and take awful selfies and degrade, you know, these geisha quietly wandering around in between shops and whatnot. To the point that you get fined 10,000 yen if you do take photos without permission down certain streets. But Kyoto's taking it a step further this week. Fill us in, Pete. What's going on in Kyoto?
Yeah, I mean, starting April this year, Kyoto will be banning tourists from the alleyways and streets where geisha and Miyako live and work due to the ever-increasing amounts of photography and cases of harassment. As you say, back in 2019, local authorities did rule out an on-the-spot fine for tourists bothering geishas. People getting chased down the street. Geishas were getting chased down private streets in the district, photographing them without their consent and touching their elaborate wigs. And I hate people touching my elaborate wigs, to be honest. I've got an Amy Winehouse beehive that I sometimes rock on the odd day, and it upsets me when people touch it. But yeah, I think there's like tea houses down there, there's restaurants and stuff, which will only be open for the geisha, their clients and residents of the area. What does a modern geisha do, Chris? I am not across what a geisha is, what they do, what they did. I realise like back in the day, it was a bit more murky possibly, but it was just these talented. Now are they just talented women? I don't know. I just don't know.
They're basically entertainers, and they can sing and dance and recite haikus and play instruments. They're supposed to be very good at talking to people, and of course they have the makeup and the hair, and they're very nicely dressed. And I met one, spoke to one was a year ago, and she was a geisha in training like a Michael. And she really didn't enjoy her job. It was kind of awkward. I was like, you must love this. And she was like, I hate this. I don't know why I did this. And I was like, this is not the way I thought this conversation would go. And it got a bit depressing. It is tough. It does sound like quite a hard job. And you've got to be the right person for it. Quite sociable.
Right.
And she got into it because she was attracted to the sort of artistic aspect of it.
Is it like a high status job? Is it like, because obviously entertainer isn't always a high status job. So is it just kind of like a cut above being like a lounge singer or, I don't know, a snack bar host, or I don't know how it all kind of fits together?
I guess so. I mean, the way geisha work is to meet one often in these sort of special exclusive clubs, you've got to be recommended by someone else. So in the situation where I met the geisha, a local Kyoto businessman took me to this place and they were there kind of thing. And that's the only way, you know. I think they do like crappy tourist experiences that probably aren't the real thing. Because it is very like exclusive. It's very like you've got to be a local or very, very rich. I learned that for $100,000 you can hire like all the geisha in Kyoto and
all the geisha
bring
you
them
could
to
eat.
Your club. All the geisha and all a tabi hordai.
All the geisha. Yeah.
Geisha tabi hordai.
Geisha hordai.
No, who was I speaking to? Somebody was like looking to hire all the geisha. There's a person I know who does like high end holidays for like billionaires.
Right.
And she was like, this guy wanted to hire all the geisha, like this Russian oligarch or something. And it was like $250,000, I think. It was a lot for a normal person, but pocket change to a Russian oligarch. And he was like, I want the geisha, all geisha. I give money, and like she was like, all right, $250,000. And for that fee you get like all the geisha you can eat.
A football team worth of geisha. Do they like? Are they competing? Are they just doing singing different songs over the top of each other? What do you do with so many geisha?
That's a very good question. You have a rap off. You have a rap off with all your favourite geisha. I don't know.
A geisha rap battle.
Geisha rap battle. That's what you do when you're a billionaire. The
dueling shamisen.
I have to reiterate, this was like 250 grand, I think, for like 2 hours as well. This was like a whole day.
So they tottle onto the yacht and then tottle off again. I like in this news story, it says that, I don't like, it's horrible, but before the pandemic, people were also reported to pull out geisha's hair ornaments and hit them with cigarette butts.
Bastards.
Hit them with cigarette. Imagine flicking a ciggy. Flicking a tab at a geisha. What do you do on holiday? I flicked a tab at a geisha. What's wrong with you?
It's kind of like, you find it hard to believe these stories to some extent. Like the difference between, I mean, I've seen geisha being harassed by people taking photos and, you know, getting close to them and treating them like they're objects or theme park rides rather than people. Mm. And, you know.
What we need...
It's not just Western tourists as well.
Geisha tunnel. We just need a geisha tunnel.
Geisha tunnel.
Around Kyoto.
A private metro.
They can clutter around on their wooden shoes underground.
But, you know, it's bad. It's bad. And, you know, I was speaking to someone in Kyoto the other day and they were like, I know, I saw a geisha having their kimono, like, grabbed. And kimonos cost, you know, like $6,000, often priceless. And, yeah, it was just really abhorrent behaviour. And so I completely understand, even though I'm gutted that this area will now become a bit more inaccessible and exclusive, I think it's probably a good idea because Kyoto needs to hold on to those traditions and in a way that's authentic. You know, Japan has got such a fascinating, deep, rich culture that makes it such a brilliant place to explore and visit. But by having so many tourists come and experience it, it does risk degrading it somewhat and turning it into a commodity, right? And basically selling it out a little bit. So by basically putting a barrier there and keeping people away from it, hopefully it maintains geisha culture and stops, you know, these women from being harassed by absolute pricks walking around Kyoto, essentially. Mm. In it.
What we need is physically imposing geisha. Maybe some like
with
very
swords.
Muscular male geisha. I just think, Chris, with your kind of like, you've got quite thick hair and quite dark hair. We just sort of comb it up a bit, you know, get a bit of white makeup on, and you could be like the geisha man of
man.
Kyoto, just going around filling people in
with a stick and a sword and a dream.
And a sword.
I will protect Gion. Don't you worry. Don't you worry. But I think people are going to be a bit worried about this, like, oh, does that mean I can't go to Gion? No, don't worry about that. It really is quite a limited
They'll
area.
They'll tell you. They'll tell you where you
can't go. You'll know. It's basically just some alleyways. And I don't even know how they're going to implement it because those alleyways have lots of restaurants and bars.
Right.
And are they all going to die now because there's no tourists? I don't know how it's going to work. Nice. It'll be interesting
to
see.
That big Starbucks in the centre of town.
They do have a big Starbucks. Yeah,
they do have a big Starbucks.
One that blends in with the city as well. Like I walked past that Starbucks with Natsuki, and he didn't realise it was a Starbucks. So I had to be like, Starbucks desk. And he was like, "Wah!" Because it was like a wooden Starbucks logo. It looked really cool.
Yeah.
I love it.
Nice.
Kyoto Starbucks is best Starbucks, clearly. We're back to the moment, guys, with your stories, comments and questions over in the fax machine.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. In our daily lives, we all carry around with us different stressors. They can be big, they can be small, and sometimes we might not even realize that we're carrying them around with us. But if these feelings stay bottled up, they can start to affect us negatively, which is why having a positive outlet for discussion can be such a valuable tool for your well-being. Therapy can be a perfect outlet for your inner stressors. It's a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Sometimes just speaking things out into the open can be such a great release of inner tension, so you can spend less time stressing about the issue and more time figuring out how you can overcome it. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Wow.
Now we're back with the fax machine. What have we got this week from our listeners? Mr. Dawson, fill us in.
Harold has got in touch. Hello, charismatic Chris and prosperous Pete. My name is Harold and I'm from the Netherlands. Last December, I turned 30. Many happy returns, Harold. And I thought now would be a good time to take that nice big trip to Japan we all dream of having. I will be going for 3.5 weeks in March. Ooh. I'm a long-time watcher of the channel and listener of the podcast, so I'd like to think that I know a little bit about Japan already. Humble brag. But of course, with Chris living in Japan for so long, he is the expert, of course. So my question is for you two is, what is the best kombini chain overall, considering all factors like service, price, food, etc.? Look forward to hearing from you two. Kind regards, Harold.
Oh, that's tough. That's tough.
It is tough.
It literally shifts around different things. Right. Family Mart does have Family Mart chicken, which alone should let them win.
Yeah, tip but the scales.
Coffee's not as good as 7-Eleven, in my opinion. But right. Lawson have karaage-kun, which is like little chicken nuggets of different flavours, and there's so many fun flavours. And you feel less guilty than when you eat Family Mart chicken. Mm. So I'm edging towards Lawson. And all Lawson have like, in the last 2 years, they like completely revamped their stores with original products that are just really good. Crisps, chocolate, etc. Mm. So Lawson gets my vote. What do you think, mate?
When you came here last year? I like the uniforms in Lawson. I like the blue and white of Lawson. I like, Family Chicky does tip it, doesn't it? It really does. I would say that 7-Eleven used to be the top dog. When I saw 7-Eleven, I was like, that's the best one, because that was the only place where you could get cash out as a foreigner. And but now it's not quite so much the kind of American sort of European embassy anymore, because you can't get money out pretty much anywhere. So I think, I think Lawson has a nice mixture of friendly staff, good uniforms, great food, lots of coolish, and also like little kind of like figurines you can buy sometimes. I bought a lot of Pokemon cards for friends and family members. Not family members, my family have no concept of what Pokemon is. God, maybe that's what I should do. Drive up 5 hours to Hartlepool and just explain Pikachu to my mum and dad. Like, imagine if I just sat them down and said, "Mum, Dad, I've got something momentous to talk to you about. There are pocket monsters in this world, and you need to know about them." And I just basically detailed the first 60 Pokemon, even though I have no interest in Pokemon. Imagine if I just sat down and went, and my mum and dad would be like, "Why are you telling us this? We're not interested. Why are you telling us this? Have you had a head injury?" And I just sat down and I said, I spoke with the solemnity of a man who's explaining religion, and I just started talking about Pokemon, even though I have no interest in Pokemon. That would be an interesting waste of time.
Pokemon, Digimon, all the fucking monsters.
Yeah, all monsters. All the monsters.
My God. Yep. My God. We got one here from Eric from Sweden. He says, "Hello, gamer Chris and likable Pete." What is that, Eric? Whoa. I heard that Chris recently... You are the gamer, not me. I heard that... I love this, right? Recently, I played Ghost of Tsushima. I talked about it publicly and everyone thinks I'm a gamer now. Chris, I heard recently you finished playing Ghost of Tsushima and gave it a lot of praise. I think one of the things that makes it such an atmospheric and immersive game is its Japanese setting. This led me to wonder if there are any other good games set in Japan. I've previously played the Judgment series, which I really enjoyed, but I'd like to find more games that are based in Japan. Any recommendations? Love the podcast. Eric from Sweden. I know there's Ghostwire Tokyo, but I've heard it's a bit there. Right.
You're the gamer. I played Ghostwire Tokyo, and it's a beautiful... I only played the first few minutes, to be honest, and it was beautifully realised, and a fantastic rendition of... I knew it was based around Shibuya, and very much like Persona, I think, which one of the Personas was based in Shibuya. I just like Shibuya, Chris. I think it's just a vibe. And so I got Ghostwire Tokyo just to have a wander around Shibuya, and it's a beautifully realised version of Shibuya. Better than Yakuza ever managed, better than Shenmue ever managed.
Of course, Yakuza. So, yeah. I mean, Yakuza's like... I think the dynamic between Ghost of Tsushima versus Yakuza, very different looking gaming world there. I mean, I literally just completed Ghost of Tsushima last week, and the game is stunning. I must say, though, it doesn't really look like Japan at all. It's kind of like this idealistic, wonderful looking Japan. The scenery looks more like the scenery you'd find in like Idaho or Montana in North America, actually. With like Japanese buildings and castles and aesthetic. Yeah. But it certainly made me appreciate Japan more. Like, one of the reasons I went to Kyoto the other week was because I wanted to be like, I wanted to be in Ghost of Tsushima so bad. And that was the closest I could get to it. And I found a little temple, a little garden that looked a bit like it. And I was like, here we are. And then, you know, I played Yakuza and smashed up a shop. But I think that's your best bet. Do that.
I don't know. I mean, Shenmue was always the thing that made me want to go to Japan back in the day on the Dreamcast. Is it Ryo Suzuki? Is that it? Or am I thinking of, is he the guy of Yakuza? Either way, Shenmue back in Dreamcast time used to got me excited about going to Japan, and you know, wandering the back streets of Tokyo, like the more kind of residential areas, very much ticked a lot of boxes for me when it comes to remembering how good that game was and how I had a lot more spare time back then to go through a 30-second drinking animation from a vending machine. I think anything like that. There's also I noticed on the Amiga, if you get yourself an Amiga emulator, Chris, you've got James Clavell's Shogun. Wow. If you want it looks like a typing adventure where you got to, you know, wander around with your sword.
Cut off head, enter.
Yeah.
Boil alive.
Get involved, Chris.
Hit enter to boil character alive.
Yeah.
All this talk of Shibuya, I'm going there after this podcast. I'm going to walk the back streets of Shibuya.
Yes.
Going to live the Pete Dawson dream. One last question from Jim Bob, who says, is Wacky Weekends gone? It's been ages. Is Wacky Weekends gone? I'm actually filming that tomorrow. Got a wacky weekend with Connor. Making it up to Connor for the camping trip debacle
from
once
hell.
And for all. It's coming. I'm filming it tomorrow. Hopefully it'll be out like later in the week. Keep an eye out for that. Keep an eye out for Connor. Hopefully what I've got planned turns out all right. It won't be worse than the original.
I like these little short. I mean, obviously, it sounds like an absolute put-up job, but Jim Bob Magor is a person on YouTube. So, I like these little sort of mini questions because they...
Mini question.
People want to know what you're up to, Chris. And I can't be asked to ask you, so they're going to have to ask you.
People want to know, is Wacky Weekend gone? No, Wacky Weekend is coming back. For now, guys, keep the stories, questions, comments coming into abroadjapanpodcast@gmail.com or comment here on YouTube if you're watching. But for now... have yourself a great few days. We'll see you right back here to do it all over again on the Abroad Japan podcast. Bye for now.
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience?
Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.